topic tonight is about Bon celebration, which is one of the annual custom in Buddhism in Japan, in China. So the origin of the Bon celebration, the word Bon is Urambana. I think it is Urambana means hanging upside down, denoting that the people in the state of Pretta, hungry devils or Gaki Do, have as much suffering and pain as if they were hanging upside down. That is the meaning of Urambana. U-L-L-A-M-B-A-N-A, Urambana. So in Japanese, we say Urabon. So Bon is the time for paying respect and practicing Dana to the departed. It is the time to express our concern and gratitude to the departed so that they will continue to rest in peace. The Bon service is held 1 year during the month of July 15th or August 15th. So today, I would like to introduce the the Buddhist Sutra from where this Bon Urambana services originated. So it's very short sutra. I translated this time. So if you study this sutra, I think you can understand the meaning of Urambana service. Okay. So it's not. This is the first draft of my translation of the sutra. So it's not good translation, but anyway. Probably you will understand the meaning, okay? First, let me read. Title of this sutra is Urambana Sutra Delivered by the Buddha. It was translated into Chinese by Dhammaraksha, who lived from 231 to 308, so almost 4th century. Thus have I heard, when the Buddha was at Jetavana Vihara at Shravasti in Koshara, in India, Moggallana was one of the 10 major Buddhist disciples. Moggallana had the first experience of the sixfold superpower. On account of being ample liquidator of the debt of his parents' nursing kindness, he observed closely the world with his spiritual eye. He found his departed mother being in the hungry realm where there was no food and no drink. She was reduced to a bag of skin and bones. Moggallana, with grief in his heart, went to see her to offer food filled in a ball. The mother held the whole ball in her left hand and took some food with her right hand. The food turned to fire before it touched her mouth, so she wouldn't result in having any food at all. Mogarana showed his deep grief and wail, and hastened back to the Buddha to describe in detail what had happened. The Buddha said, "The root of the transgressions that your dear mother committed are so grave that it is beyond your power to save her from the suffering, from her suffering. Even though you have filial fear piety enough to tremble heaven and earth, heavenly gods, guardians of the ground, devils, people who follow other teachings, and the gods in the four directions are of no use. She will surely be liberated, however, if through the majestic influence of the assembly in the ten directions. I now speak of a teaching of salvation, and let all sufferers be free from their difficulties." The Buddha also said to Mogarana, "On the occasion of Prabharana, Prabharana means later I will explain. On the occasion of Prabharana, on the 15th of July, the last day of the summer training period, if there are your present parents and ancestral parents for seven generations who are confronted with their difficulties, you should pay homage to the great venerable monks in the ten directions with offerings of rice and various delicious food, the five kinds of fruits, water prevailing in the universe, incense and candle lights, spreading carpets on the floor, putting all different kinds of deity in the world on the tray. On this day, among all sacred assemblies, some are monks who have attained the four stages of Zen practice in the forest or mountains. Some are Shilabhaka and Pratika Buddha who have attained the six superpowers by which the great enlightened, by which they can freely edify people. Some are the great enlightened bodhisattvas who have attained the ten stages of bodhisattva's practice. Some are with all other assemblies as monks. They all together have received the same contented food, the same pure precept, and been endowed with the path, the sacred monk's life, and vastness of their virtue. If you pay homage to these Prabharana monks with offerings, the present parents, the parents of seven generations, the six blood relatives, and the whole families are able to free themselves from the sufferings in the river of the three crossings, to be liberated according to circumstances, and spontaneously to receive clothes and food. If the parents are alive, they deserve to receive bliss and joy for 100 years. the parents for seven generations are qualified to be born in the heaven, to be reincarnated freely, and to have boundless joy adorned with heavenly flowers. One day the Buddha told implicitly to the assemblies in the 10 directions. First of all, pray for the family of donors, particularly for the parents for seven generations, with the spirit of jhana, concentration or meditation, and receive food afterward. When you have food, first be present peacefully in the stupa in the presence of the Buddha, and eat food after all assemblies pray in the presence of the Buddha. At that moment, Mugana and all monks, all bodhisattvas feel rejoiced because Mugana's grief and well are removed with sudden illumination. On this day, his mother is liberated for a long period of time from the sufferings of hungry spirit. Mugana also said to the Buddha, "The mothers who gave birth to the Buddha's disciples are bestowed with the virtuous strength of the three treasures and the majestic power of all assemblies. Is it possible for all the Buddha's disciples to observe the practice of Ulambana ritual in the future for the sake of their parents, present parents, and their parents for seven generations from their sufferings?" The Buddha said, "That's a good idea. It's good questions, because that is all I wanted to speak of it. You have just now asked about it." He continued to say, "All good family and friends, if anyone of monks, nuns, kings, princes, ministers, prime ministers, the three officers, other officers, the whole nation, and the common people show their compassionate piety in practice for the present parents and parents for seven generations, you should pay homage to Prabhana monks with various deity on a tray on the occasion of the Buddha's rejoicing day, July 15th, when they observe the Prabhana practice. You should pray for the present parents and the parents for the past seven generations to be free from the sufferings in the state of a hungry spirit and to receive bliss and joy without any sick for a century, without being afflicted with any sufferings. In order to observe the practice of filial piety as a Buddhist disciple, you should be mindful of the parents and the parents of seven generations at every single moment of thoughts, and show filial compassion on the 15th of July every year. You should be ample requiter of the debt of your parents, nursing kindness and love by merits of performing the Ulambana practice. In the mindfulness of the parents with offerings to the Buddhas and the monks. Thus, all Buddha's disciples should respectfully keep this teaching." At that moment, Mugana and all disciples of the fourfold groups rejoice and practice it. This is all sutra. Okay, first of all, I think the Mukarana's mother suffered from her life being in the state of hungry spirit. This is one point. When Mukarana observed crossly the world with his Buddha's eye, original term of a hungry devil or spirit in English. Okay. Devil means in ancient India, is the spirit of the departed. So in ancient India, I think the ancestral spirit is called Preta, P-R-E-T-A, which means the departed who expects offerings or food constantly. This is called Preta in Sanskrit, which means ancestral spirit. But usually in English we translate it devil. Okay. So Gaki, Ga means Ga, God of the Gaki is just additional word which doesn't have any particular crucial meaning. But in English we say hungry devils or hungry spirit. So I think devil in this case preta is not something scary because it is a spirit of the departed who expect constantly the offerings and fools. And this is the original idea of devil in English. Okay? Preta, which means the soul or spirit of the departed in ancient India's thought. Alright? Is that clear? And then this term comes into Buddhism, and then Buddhism that term, Preta, naturally, what kind of the spirit, of course, spirit of the ancestral ancestors, and also, spirit of departed who had the lack of a personality, lack of a something. The virtuous quality. Okay, is that clear? Who always expect something, always, but it is not something you develop, but because this is a lack of the virtuous quality, what you have carried from the beginningless past. Okay, so you don't know, but you have it. So very naturally, it's a big suffering for us, right? And generally speaking, it is not a particular person. Everyone. Do you think so? Everyone. I think everyone is kind of the expectation or desire to get or know something. Okay? So you always try to know. Try to know. That is a greed. It's really big greed coming from the heart of your mind. You completely, just like a water, spring of water coming up from your life. The other day, the Yvonne Land said, in order to communicate, you shouldn't ask their kids what they did at the school, etc. Do you understand? You always ask kids what you did at the school in order to know who they are. So you constantly ask. And then by asking something, then you believe that you know that they're, you know them. Or you will be able to have close relation with people. But sometimes not. Because kids feel pressure unconsciously. So first of all, important point is let them be present with parents and all circumstances first. That is most important for us. But we don't do it always. We always try to know. If you stop knowing, very naturally you are criticizing, critical. You begin criticizing, being critical to you, to others. That's always happened. This is also one of greed. So this is kind of expecting food and offerings always. That's greed. One of the poisons, three poisons. Greed. Okay? So, hungry ghost. The mother suffers from her life being in the state of hungry spirit. This is called hungry spirit, hungry ghost, we say. Okay? So, all of us, in a sense, hungry ghost. And also, the second point is the Buddha said, you know, the Moggallana, they felt sad very deeply because he found her mother in the state of hungry spirit. So he tried to save her from suffering, but Buddha said, the root of transgression that your dear mother committed are so grave that it is beyond your power to save her from her sufferings. Even though you have a filial piety enough to trample heaven and earth, heavenly gods, guardians of ground, devils, the people who follow the other teachings, and the gods in the four directions are of no use. Means no one can help. So by your effort, there is nothing to help her. Okay? Because her transgression, this hungry spirit, is really rooted deeply. Look at yourself. If you do that, then you can notice. You can only see you yourself. It's not, you cannot save by yourself. No. You cannot be free from your this hungry spirit by merit of somebody's power or physical power, physical spiritual power. No. You cannot do it because nothing helps. Even the gods in the four directions. Okay. So God's in the four directions, the people who follow the other paths, teachings, devils, and guardians of the ground, heavenly gods, etc., such and such, all are talking about wonderful things which exist in the dualistic world, okay? Which we are always using. For instance, techniques of the technologies, spiritual means, or spiritual mediums, and physics, physical. The scientific technologies and physics and all stuff. Because those are not something we cannot ignore, but we are always supported by, protected by those stuff. Psychology, philosophy, technologies and physics and astrology, and many things, but all are nothing but all things which exist in the dualistic world, changing constantly. So there is, you cannot find it nothing stable. So that's why nothing help. Because this is your hungry ghost. How do we do that? So that is the sutra mentions, okay? And then the Buddha mentions. Buddha mentioned to Moggallana. So first of all, on that day, well, when is best time or to save this suffering from this suffering, to save from this suffering, okay? That is on the occasion of Pravarana on the 15th of July. The 15th of July is the last period of training, summer training, traditionally in the monastery, okay? In Japan too. And also, on the last day of the training, summer training period, they had the Pravarana ritual means that day is what is called Pravarana day. Pravarana means literally Satisfaction of wishes. Satisfaction, how can you get satisfaction of wishes? It is possible for us to get satisfaction of wishes by merit of reflecting upon their life, okay? On the last day of the training session, okay? That is called Pravarana day. Okay? And then, if you reflect upon yourself seriously, the more you can find out of something negative, not much positive. That is reflection. But negative aspect of human life by the reflection of upon yourself is simultaneously identical with satisfaction of wishes. Okay? In other words, if I am quiet, okay, instead of expressing my ego, in other words, if I express my ego, I want to stop talking, okay? And then want to sleep. in my bed. But anyway, I should take care of this egoistic understanding of my life, okay? And then, what do you mean? Negating this ego is to let me be present here. To let me be present here means to express satisfaction of my wishes, because I can talk. I can continually talk. Okay? Is that clear? So negation is identical with affirmation. But we don't like negations, the negative aspect of life. So always you express positively yourself, okay? So we don't practice negative way of life, okay? Do you understand? Is that clear? No? You know? But if you don't, well, from now on, watch your life. Okay? Okay, this is on the July 15th, alright? Today, July 15th. This is called Pravarana Day, and also Pravarana Day, which means the day of satisfaction of wishes. That's why this day is what is called Buddha's Rejoicing Day. Okay? Buddha's Rejoicing Day. I'm sorry. Buddha's Rejoicing Day. Because, well, later I can explain. Okay? Then on this auspicious day of Pravarana Day, July 15th, the last day of the training session, you should pay homage to the great venerable monks in the 10 directions with offering of rice, various delicious food, the five kinds of fruits, waters prevailing in the universe, incense and candle lights, spreading carpets and floor, putting all different kinds of dainty in the world on a tray. So, then, on this auspicious day, please pay homage to the great venerable monks who have accomplished the summer training sessions following the Buddha's teaching. And on the last day of the training, they have finished reflecting upon their life very deeply and express satisfaction of their wishes by deep reflection upon their life, okay? During the training sessions. So that's why we should pay homage to those monks, okay? With offering. In order to pay homage to them, we should you should express yourself in concrete way. How? Offering incense, or bowing to them, or offering foods. Okay? Something like that. So in ancient Eastern Asia, Buddhists traditionally, we always offer something to those people in order to pay homage to, physically and materialistically, and mentally. So next, third point, why do we have to pay homage
only the monks, these venerable monks.
Okay.
So he says, on this day, among all sacred assemblies, some monks who have attained the four stages of Zen practice in the forest and mountains, in other words, among the all monks of assemblies in the 10 directions, there are some who have been practicing in the forest and the mountains and attained some stage of Buddhist practice. Some are Shrivaka and Pratika. Some are Shrivaka means listening the Buddha's teaching and reading or listening Buddha's teaching and attain enlightenment. Pratika means attain enlightenment by seeing, observing deeply the world, the nature, rhythm of the nature, rhythm of the world. Okay? So some are the Shrivaka and Pratika who have attained the six superpowers by which they can freely edify people. So some are people who really attain enlightenment. In other words, that they have fully joy, by listening or reading Buddha's teaching in the world. It seems to me that people in the United States are more or less Shrivaka. We really fully believe that we attain the enlightenment by virtue of listening or reading Buddha's teaching in a word. That's it. We can practice Zazen, but this is a better way. Okay? But on the other hand, except Zazen, we are Shrivaka. But Shrivaka is fine, but still there is something which you should take into account in the future. Okay? I don't want to say it today. So that's why lots of grumbles, complains there. Okay? Because you understand attainment enlightenment through the words, through the listening, the teaching in the word doesn't fit into the actual rhythm of your life. No, because the rhythm of your actual life is something more than your understanding through the words. No. Do you understand? Even though you understand, even though you believe, I attain the enlightenment, I don't think you are an enlightened being. I experienced very often in the past. After writing the thesis on the mere consciousness, particularly manas, ego consciousness, source of ego consciousness, I attain the enlightenment, believing fully, I am great Buddhist, but it was completely opposite. No way. Since I came to the United States, complete all reality will be completely reversed. I didn't have anything to know, to tell you, nothing. I was very confused. How can I do it? How can I teach? Okay. So rhythm of your reality is going constantly something more than your attainment experience of your enlightenment through the words, through the listening, the teaching in word. No way. So that's why we are Shrivaka. Okay? Or If you don't like a Buddhist teaching or Christianity religions, you can go. You can live in the heart of the mountain, always being present with the nature, okay, and solitude. And then you attain enlightenment. Sure, you can do it. But still, your life doesn't adapt to the great rhythm of human life. Your enlightenment is just a speck of dust. So still you have to have lots of practice for century after century to deepen this experience, what you have had constantly. This is Buddha's practice, Bodhisattva practice, okay? I don't mean the experience of your enlightenment is bad, no, that's fine. But still there is something important practice for you to continually to deepen your experience again and again. Don't stop it. If you stop, you really become crazy about your career. If you become crazy about your career, you have had your life, your development of your life, the development of your life stops. Okay, stop.